We are now in conversation mode. So people can ask questions and have a conversation with us. If you don't intend to ask a question and you're in a noisy environment, we ask you to hit *6, and that will mute your personal phone and make it easier for other people to hear. So we are now in the question and answer section of tonight's conference. Does anybody have any questions?
Oh, boy.
It usually takes a moment or two before someone will ask a question. Do we have any questions? Hello?
It's not a question. It's just a great presentation.
Oh,
I really
you.
Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Ashana. How are you?
Oh, I am okay. You found me. I was just curious. You're doing such a great presentation, and I'm not sure that I will be able to make exactly the same when I will do my process.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of it. You have your, again, your signature. You know, it's all different, but we are the same.
Yes.
We are different.
In
we
some
are
way.
The same.
And
well,
I really like the scope that we are going. We're not participating with any particular movements, but we have a direct connection to the to the whole system, to the divine makers of us,
yes.
Where we came from and who we are. This is the most important thing to do, because we are clean from any additional possible pollutions of influences, which sometimes very difficult to recognize because they're coming in disguise.
Yes.
Yes.
And yes, it's probably like it happened to me last time. They asked me what I wish to be done, and I said that I would like to be removed all existing cords, which implemented in all my energy levels.
Yes.
And probably it would be during my existence and all possible lineages during my different incarnations on the earth. So it would be good to repeat that each time when we ask that question, when we're in a temple of ascension.
Exactly.
In a grand central sun.
Exactly.
And that probably maybe somebody will not aware of it, but it would be good idea to set up the mind that when I will be in this temple, when I will get those quartz initiation for the Lyra, and I will be here twice during two initiation this time, and each time if that will be asked question, then that is going to be my answer. Release me from all odd stuff,
yes,
that holds me on the earth. All blockages, all seals, all programs, and all connections to any places and entities of my existence on the earth. I think that if everyone just set up this mind subconsciously, that would be a good idea, because not everyone see what is happening and aware, but before session, just...
Oh, yes, exactly. And that's one of the reasons that this code, we work basically with the heart temple, and we, you know, we give some exercise of the in-tuning of the eighth chakra, which is the higher heart, where you have all the memories of past lives. You know, and all, not the registries, but the memories. What got impressed to your emotional field is there on the higher heart. And also, in the higher heart, you encounter what you call the council of your soul, which is not necessarily your soul where you came from. It's the council of your personalities, basically. People that through various lifetimes, you gave power to them to rule your life. And for some reason, some of them continue. So let's say you had a very manipulative father in the middle age when you live there, and this person continues on your, you know, on a console of your personalities, saying to you, you know, do this, do that, and you sometimes you say, why did I do this? This, I don't even understand why I act this way. It's basically by the influence. So when you tune or in tune your eighth chakra, your higher heart, and the new vibration, and I mean a new vibration given by you and aligned completely with the Christ consciousness, you will open not one but various channels to receive the attunements of the stellar code in the most efficient way, opening yourself to expansion of consciousness, and it's only through expansion of at least nine times more the coefficients of energy that you can absorb that you can reach perfect ascension. So you need to open your channels, to open the possibilities to assimilate divine light at least nine times more than you already do.
Yes.
In order to reach ascension.
That is something we have to remember and repeat to ourselves as a program every single day.
Yes.
Because we have our, and to receive high Christ consciousness, we need to say that we open a 12th chakra for Christ consciousness.
Yes, exactly.
That is connected to 12th dimension. So either you say that I'm calling for 12th dimension energies and receiving through 12th chakra and increase the flow in the nine times.
Exactly.
That is how it will work. And the question which I also have, where we all have reoccurring problems in our life.
Yes.
Again and again and again. It's like a broken record.
Yes.
And we need to develop some kind of procedure to remove it from the record, because in Akashic record it doesn't show that record, that lesson has been learned. So
exactly.
It's like karmic lessons.
Yes, that was the thing that we worked in the last stellar code, was basically that, removing the impressions of the reincarnational selves. The lesson was learned, but if there is a one part of this karma that exists, you know, a karma is made of three parts, which most people don't know. Karma is composed of dharma, karma itself, which means responsibility to learn the lesson, and you have another part that's called sanskara. Sanskara is the residue. It's like a hologram that continue playing.
Yeah.
Those are the needs to be removed. Those are the broken records. The lesson was learned, it was clear, but you're still repeating the same experiences.
Yeah.
Why? Because you need to intentionally clean this out of your template. And this was the stellar code, last stellar code, which we did, the cleansing of the sanskara, and the continuation of the exercises on that, it will remove the sanskara out of your energetic template and your original matrix.
Then probably we need to develop some kind of exercises after each initiation, so we can continue.
You can continue doing all the exercises.
We have one of the things that we do for those who don't know or haven't participated in the program right now. With if you decide to participate with the program, we've got the guidebook up in the university. Everyone can read the guidebook. This talks about the archetypical journey. And then we have the guidebook appendix for those that participate with the program. And this includes the meditations, the exercise, the spiritual exercises, includes the symbols that, or the syllables, because really what the symbol is a vibrational, a representation of a vibrational frequency. And these are all in the guidebook appendix, and this is where the exercises are to enable us to do this attunement. This is the attunement part, which you're responsible for.
And
that means that I will go to the search again.
Is there on the what we call the workbook?
It's in the guidebook appendix, Ashana, and you can find the information there. But thank you for the question. That gave us an opportunity to explain this.
Yes, and so probably to send one reminding email to all participants and to turn to that, because I notice that issue is coming to me and in my life. It's like recently what's happening to me, reoccurring, something which has been learned a while ago, but it's coming back again and again. And I feel like I need to do a cleaning house all the time, because anyway, how many incarnations I have had on this earth? Millions,
well,
probably.
We
who knows?
We don't have any idea. You know, the secret doctrine says that the medium 800. You know, the medium path after 800 incarnations. You know, one can reach the path of spirituality to be free of the wheel. You know,
yeah.
Some masters reach that in 40, like Saint Germain.
What will happen to those in ascension process for those who didn't have that many incarnations?
They can have what you call external help. They could have reached a level of understanding by experience. And they didn't need to repeat lessons like most of us do.
Okay.
You know, over and over. They were good learners.
good learners. And that's what we're trying to help with here. We're trying to help people with to learn the things so they don't need quite that many reincarnations. So.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing that we always say is that we are all concerned about this life.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a very brief like a candle life
when you compare with all eternity.
So you need more education to eternity than more education in one specific life. And
mm-hmm.
just because human existence is just one of the many possibilities that of a level of consciousness that you know, a soul can choose to incarnate, that, you know, knowing more and being more aware of what is out there and attuning, you know, to your in your core with those energies will allow you to have a more vivid and intense experience as a soul aligned with Christ consciousness.
Yes. Thank you so much for explanation. You're very clear.
You're most welcome, Ashana. Do we have any other questions about this stellar code or the stellar codes in general out there?
I do have a question. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Hi, this is Jensette calling. Hi.
Oh, hello, Jensette.
Hello, beautiful souls. The first thing I must say is that I am absolutely in awe at the cornucopia of information and energy that you are able to just continuously feed to us. I can't believe that this has only been less than an hour. It feels like it's been years of depth of perception and teaching. It's awesome. It's absolutely amazing. So
oh,
I wanted
well,
to thank you for
that. But you're making a
wow.
Blessing. We're just passing on the information.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so awesome. But I do have a question. I wondered if you could just spend a few moments talking a little bit more about the dweller on the threshold. I'm very interested in that whole experience, because I know it is part of this that is upcoming, and I'm very interested in that, if you could give a couple minutes on it.
Now
okay.
Jensette, what I don't know is, have you gotten the guidebook appendix yet?
Yes, I have.
Well, the dweller on the threshold is exactly the experience that, you know, it's an inward experience. And it said that every single seeker, before he enters the temple, he has to leave his baggages out. It's a symbol of respect. You know, in any temple, each Buddhist temple, you have to take your shoes out to enter the temple.
Mm.
On in a temple of initiation, of enlightenment, and this is not necessarily a temple. It could be any sacred ground. You have to have a reverence attitude, a respectful attitude, and you have to abide by the vibrations. And the sacred temple of God on the tip of the heart as we're working now. The dweller of threshold is a summary of every single thing that is not necessary pure. So it's like you're going to face your shadow. You're going to face what they call the demon of the portal. The demon of the portal, the big secret behind this, it's yourself.
Mm.
It's your fears, is a resume of your fears, of the bad experiences, the karmic habits, of all the bad habits, or even of the bloodline inheritance that you got, in, you know, passively. You know, you really cannot plan as much, even though everything is in divine order, and what kind of bloodline you will land. So what you're going to face before you cross this, and this is the very reason you have to leave behind the garment of the negativity of your ego and the demands. And you, what you're going to face is the ugliness of your own ego. This is done in very, you know, in the tradition, like again, Hercules, in order to reach and achieve redemption, he had to go inside of the underworld, and he left behind his personality to go in. We don't know on the journey, how they call the myth, if he went there physically or he went there extra physically, but he had to go to the underworld. So he left behind his ego personality and went there as a soul. And as a soul, he showed strength of spirit. He showed the gifts he acquired with all those experiences. And he conquered Cerberus, which for Cerberus in that moment was the dweller of the threshold, the guardian of the threshold that will fight you so you won't get in. Most people get there and they look around and say, why bother? You know, no, I'm not going to get there and go back.
Or they succumb to their fears and don't face the challenges.
But the fact is, when you cross the threshold for the first time, and notice that Cerberus have three heads. He has three heads because it symbolizes your lower nature. You
know, three lower chakras.
The three lower chakras. Mm. The necessities of, you know, subsistence, your physical needs, the needs of integration with your relationship with your second chakra, and the third chakra, your need of the ego in itself, your power center. So he has three heads because, you know, the domination, the dominion, or the control of the three heads of the ego. This is symbolic as well. But the fact is, once you cross the threshold, you have the biggest, one of the biggest veils that separates reality to the spiritual world, ripped. And it even is in the Bible. And it, you have this transition, and the entire story told in the Bible, of course, they mix, mash, you know, so you think there is not a continuity, but there is. One of the last speeches that Christ said, he was having preaching inside of a synagogue, and those priests came and said to him, we heard that you're going to destroy the temple.
The Pharisees.
Yeah, and then he said, yes. And he said, you're going to destroy the temple. He said, yes. And he said, what are you going to do? Because he was talking about the temple. He was the temple.
The inner temple.
The inner temple. He was not talking about the temple that was surrounding them.
Solomon's temple at the time.
Yeah, he said, I can destroy the temple, and I will bring the temple alive again in 3 days. And they said, that's ridiculous. And it was one of the accusations against him was that he had said that. And this was an heresy. Who was he to say that he could put down the Temple of Solomon and rebuild in 3 days? But he did.
And
that's
and
what he did.
This whole story here, Christ gave up his mortality, descended into hell 3 days. This sounds a little bit like the Hercules story. And then his comes out divinity.
Yeah, why? Because he had to face the demons. He was not doing his own demons. He was doing the demons of the entire mankind, which is a residue of generations that were completely lost. So he descended into hell. Do you think he descended into hell to be there? No. He descended to hell because he was there releasing them, healing, curing, liberating, you know, transforming, alchemizing. You know, he is the guardian. He was the guardian of the seven ray for one reason. Therefore, he had, before Saint Germain, the mastery of the violet flame. So he was equipped with energy and knowledge enough to even release the poor demons. That's what you call, you know, I'm not saying they're poor, but that's how literature refers to the poor demons.
Does this answer your question?
Well, it's magnificent because I was approaching this entire attunement with really deep respect because I was doing an analogy of this dweller on the threshold to a very, very real death experience. In other words, dying to an element of the ego. And what I was feeling with this particular attunement as it's coming is a heightened element of this Christ consciousness, like Sananda, Jesus,
yes,
giving us that resurrection, that ability, if we're willing to really face, which isn't, you know, it's not a lot of, you know, lilting, poetic stuff. This is for real.
It is.
Facing
it is.
This
it is.
Stuff.
It's a cornucopia,
yeah,
of spiritual gifts.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And this is not only on a Christian side, because
right,
you have, you know, and we put that, you had the god Maat in Egypt, and
mm-hmm,
she was the guardian of the threshold. Now, it was a different way. The different way was she would put your heart on a scale. If your heart was heavier than the single feather that she used, you
mm-hmm
would not do the journey.
Yes.
So the entire concert of all the ancient wisdom, the schools of knowledge, was to preparate the seeker to have a good heart, a golden heart, actually not golden, but a crystal heart, because
mm-hmm
only the crystal heart is able to function and 5D up.
And think about this. Here's another little clue for everybody. It's when we talk about becoming higher vibrational, you become less dense, you become lighter.
Yes.
Your heart then can become as light as a feather, which is what you needed to do in order to pass her test.
So what we do in all those archetypal journeys to various schools of knowledge is the exercising or relieving ourselves from the density of given by the ego. You know, don't make no mistake. The ego and the physical body are governed by the law of gravity. It wants you to stay where you are.
There's a lot of inertia with that.
Inertia.
Mm,
ego,
yeah,
is, you know, the ego will always stand to direct you to physical comfort. It will always stand to direct you to your own pleasures or your own needs. I need this. I need that. You know, and if you stop and think, it's like, do I really do? You know, do I really need this?
The lower chakras are all lower vibrational.
Yeah, but
right,
they're not important.
No, they're important.
Because when you attune them with the higher chakras, they acquire a complete different, not only vibration, but function. When you attune yourself with higher vibrations and, you know, imprint the stellar codes, the lower chakras, they stop functioning as just dead weight for the ego, and they become like a turbo, you know, that makes you poof, rock, rock it up.
One of the exercises we teach in the stellar codes is as we do the meditations and we start at our heart chakra and we work out, is you're actually linking the pairs of chakras, one higher, one lower,
mm-hmm,
and that's part of that process of bringing the lower chakras in tune with your higher chakras, or in another analogy, of your lower self in tune with your higher self, as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire goal of all those exercises is to encompass as one being of light all your extra physical bodies and put in tune with higher vibration all your chakras, align and obstruct all your meridians, and, you know, and work, you know, as a propulsive energy.
And to be a pillar of light.
Hmm.
So
thank you so much. That's magnificent. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
You know, you're most welcome. You know that. Any other questions?
Hi, I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, wonderful. My name is Tu Hien, and I just actually found your website today off of a YouTube video, and I'm very happy to be listening to you all.
Oh, wonderful. Just out of curiosity, which video?
Something about angelic humans.
Oh, yes, the angelic humans.
Yes. And it was really beautiful. I do angelic work, and I'm a full-time light worker. And I just happened to be on the website today and saw that you all had a class, so I'm going to ask some pretty remedial questions here, and that is, have you all started the whole program yet? Because I'm not really following.
The Stellar Code program, it continues throughout the year. What it is it's dictated by the heavens above us. We started the Stellar Code program this particular round. We started it with Cyrus, and we'll come back to Cyrus, and then the whole thing will go again. But the stellar codes are not sequential. You don't have to learn one and then learn the other. There are codes that work with each other, but usually if you haven't had the first one, you go to the second one. We do an energetic bridge that will allow you to filter what you need to from that second code, and then as it comes around again, you pick up the other one, and it's made whole. They're all facets of the same jewel.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. But from a practical standpoint, what I still need to understand is, today are you all doing attunements on Lyra and then people just keep calling in, or do
no,
I
no,
have
no,
no, no, no, no.
The attunement is doing separately. It's between you and us only. We set a date, a time that's reserved just for you before we can have a session on the phone, which you can ask, you know, maybe 1 to 2 days before. We always give the book, the guidebook,
as a matter of fact, if you decide to do the program, then what we'll do is we'll send you the guidebook appendix. This particular appendix is about 39 pages, I believe.
Yes.
And there are a lot of exercises and things in there, and it takes a little while to work through it and get an understanding of it and to do some of the exercises, and once you have done those...
They're necessary because they are the entombments we need in order to build the Akkords. So we really need to do some entombment because we usually do a cleansing before, a cleaning process, but if you already are exercising this, the inflow of energy will be easier.
Oh, yeah.
For you, and for you to absorb that.
And then what happens at that point in time, we schedule up a time and a date, and then we will connect with you energetically. It's not done over the telephone. You'll put yourself, go through the procedures that we give you, you'll put yourself in a receptive meditative state, and we connect via the soul stars.
Uh-huh.
So this is all done on a higher plane.
Okay, so my other question is there, you know, what's the cost of this, and how long does it go on? How many attunements are there?
The members cost, and we recommend people that if they want to do this program to join the university. We because there's a lot of other stuff we teach, and it's really good, and we give a pretty big discount to. As a matter of fact, we give a non-member price is $90, a member price is $60. And that for this particular attunement. And then through the course of the year, as the codes go, we give the different attunements as they go along. Sometimes they overlap. This past one we did Chiron and Orion. They were actually two separate stellar codes, but we did them at the same time, and we did them for the same price.
Yeah, it was one price for two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was our Christmas gift. Yeah, but anyhow, this is how it goes, and each one of them has a certificate and gives you one ability. So this is not something that gives you a registered certificate. Like we said, we're just training 72, and because we you know why we are Reiki masters, we respect Reiki. We don't want this to be like just Reiki. You know, we want to keep this to give our students the possibility to have their own practice, and they will be just those that will be able to certify others.
Okay, so
when
my
we,
other... Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have this
there's the Matrix Mastery Program, and then as I said, there's if you decide, but some people are doing it simply for the, you know, they don't want to teach others, they want to integrate this for themselves, which is fine. But as far as master teachers, we're only going to pass on that information to 72 people, and at that point it will be their responsibility to go on, and there'll be certain guidelines, you know, that it's important that, you know, this tradition
continue,
but also continue as the tradition was originally.
Okay, so the 72 people, they would have to do each of the stellar codes, which are how many?
They would need to become a master teacher. You first need to go through the different stellar codes, and then you do the teaching course, which is
it will be like 3 months max.
How many stellar codes are there?
We have 12.
There are 12 stellar codes, but we don't necessarily package them as 12 individual codes that you pay for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because that's more my question. I'm just
working
on prosperity.
Yeah, there's more than that. For instance, in this stellar code specifically, we have 3 stars. You know, we have 3 stars. All of them, one from the constellation of the Cygnus constellation, which is the constellation of the Swan. We have Vega in a constellation of Lyra, and we have the Eagle, which is making the triangle there. And all of them are attached, believe me or not, to the tail of Capricorn. They're superimposing themselves on the tail of Capricorn, which is exactly where you have another manifestation of the cornucopia. Yeah.
So for each stellar code, do you all have it written down someplace what gift is given?
This one specifically, you have on this one here, you know, we have the gift of discernment.
Yeah.
We have the gift of hope. But other gifts are given when, you know, for instance, this is a code of, we have three chords of the heart, or it means the three flames of the heart, of the higher heart, of the sacred heart. You have three flames, a threefold flame. All those three flames are the energy that you need to be rebuilt your antakarana. So we put this on the cord of the light worker, the cord of the light warrior, and the cord of the light weaver. The cord of the light warriors, the one was Orion, and the other one was Antares. I can tell you the gifts were basically training on be part of the heavenly host of Lord Michael, and the last one of Lord Zachiel, Archangel Zachiel, which are the, what you call the guardian angels. And so in the warriors codes, you basically got attuned to be one of the warriors and function as an angel in higher sphere.
Yeah, one of the things that we do for the people that are doing the Stellar Code programs, and one of the facets of the Stellar Code program, and this is something that people can do and we will charge for them individually if they're not doing the program, but we give this as part of the program, and also the teaching of it as part of the Master Teacher program, are the Axiomundi and the Axicelli attunements. And these deal with the four noble stars and the four archangels that are associated with those stars, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and Uriel.
Which are the stars of Cyrus, formerly out, Antares, and Aldebaran. Those are what you call the Maharajas, the stars, the noble stars of the Persian people.
And to be honest, we could really go on about this sort of thing forever, because when you start tying in the angelic aspects and the angels and the influences and how they all link together, it's really kind of cool. But the archangels, the angels, essentially... are the energetic or representations, manifestations of the solar logos of the different stars that we're working with. And the four principal stars in the entire stellar code are those of
Leone.
Yeah.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Can you like have her email you and you guys like talk about this so we can? I'm not trying to be rude, but there's a lot of information even going on what you get. I mean, there's so much. It you couldn't even say in an hour. But can we get back to the one we're on? Because I don't know what time it is, and I'm afraid we're going to run out of time. And this is a big book.
Okay, just let me get her name, and, you know, he's like, yeah, it's okay.
I hope you understand
I'm
my soul sister.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm fine. I got the answers that I wanted. Thank you.
Okay, super. If you've got any further, just send us a message at the, you know, contact form on the humanityhealing.net. We'll try to get you fixed up.
Oh, you answered my question perfectly. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions?
Hello.
All right. I hear the crickets chirping.
Well, I don't have a question, and I hope that wasn't rude, but there is so much information in this book. I'm like overwhelmed, and I'm always overwhelmed. I always feel like, oh God, I'm not going to be ready because you know I'm busy doing all the light working stuff too. So anyway, I'm so sorry. Please, I hope that wasn't rude, but I came in late. I'm an idiot. I got the time wrong.
Well, we will be posting this for those that did come in late, and this is a good point here. For those that did come in late, probably within about
exactly.
or within by this time tomorrow, hopefully earlier than that, I will have the teleconference recording for this posted up on the website so that people can listen into it.
All right, any questions?
Do we have any other questions this evening? We are getting close to the cutoff mark for the teleconference service.
If no one else is going to speak, I just wanted to say what you were talking about at the very end, the angelics, that was very interesting before we were cut off.
Oh, okay, well, we do have a course in the university on angels. And
angelic and human beings.
And angelic human beings, and to be honest, it's one of my favorites. Because there is so much information in the ancient texts about angels and how they all tie and link together with the different traditions of ageless wisdom and ancient wisdom.
Well, if you would think this way, you know, like we said before, the mind of God, first generation is Mother, Father, God, second generation the Son, or the verb of the world, or the Word, or...
The Word made flesh.
Word made flesh. And the third generation, which is amplify, you know, the Son, the second generation, fills the gap and fuels the creation. But the third generation is done by the archangels, the master beings. They're there, and they are the constructors of the manifested world. So you can say, you know, in a very simple terms, that the powers of convergency of all the archangels are the ones that created the manifested universe.
Or they were the lens through which God created the universe.
Exactly. Their hands. So when you get aligned with those masters and their attunement, you receive the gifts. They're referring to each one of them according to the ranking and the roles and responsibility they, you know, perform. And in the same way, this entrance on the temple, you know, you need to be prepared because in this step, you will learn how to build your inner temple. You're going to learn how to transmute your lower heart, your heart, the physical heart, and the crystal heart to operate in 5D and up. You are going to learn how to receive the gift of discernment, of gift of ministry, and even in some ways the prophetic gift, because you are going to be able to be more soul infused and therefore receive direct guidance.
And not
from anybody else, but from your soul.
And this is one of the purposes of the Stellar Code, for us to build our, and I can't stress this enough, for us to build our personal Anacharana back and to learn to be more soul infused on this plane of existence.
So another thing, that's just answering because somebody sent me, I don't know if this person is here in the conference call or not, I didn't invite him to come, but he asked me and how to develop he sent us a question how he could develop his Merkaba. And my answer to him is this. You cannot develop Merkaba using only breathing techniques. You need more than that.
Well,
you need to have your Kundalini activated, not necessarily completely awakened, but activated, and you need a very reasonable size of a Tankarana, because you can activate Merkaba artificially.
Well, you're talking about the Melchizedek breath techniques.
And that's
one of the schools that do that, but it's an artificial activation, and it's not. It's not what we teach.
Well, the fact is, you are going to activate your Merkaba when you work on yourself. Merkaba can only be activated fully and continuously, fueled by divine grace. And the only reason and the only way to get this is through your higher self and your monadic self. Nobody can give this to you. You have to get it yourself. So we're not selling techniques here. We can help you to build the tools or build the scale and the prototype of your internal temple to receive this initiation yourself. But nobody will give that. Oh, no, there's a lot of people that make and sell and such, but there is not something that I would recommend to do by yourself either, because you can activate Merkaba. Merkaba will burn your aura if it's not assisted and guided. And you're not prepared. You know, it will burn your aura, and it really can take a long time to refuel and restore all the tissues of your extra-physical bodies. I'm not scaring anybody. I'm just saying as it is. I just want you to have the gift of discernment.
There we go. All right. Are there any other questions we have this evening?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Marina.
Hi, Marina.
How are you guys?
We are here.
We're on adrenaline right now. What's the question, Marina?
I don't have a question, really, per se. I just wanted to sort of let people know who are on the call that are new that I've been doing these attunements since October. I didn't do the first one. I started late. But anybody who's considering this, it is so well worth it. I can't even begin to describe all the...
We've got a testimonial here.
All the changes. All the changes that have been happening. It's transforming. And you'll step so much more into yourself and who you are. And it's really the most amazing thing I've ever done, and I've been a long time studier, a long time scholar, and I've been sort of at that jumping off place for so long, and it came along at a time that was so unexpected, but so timely. And really, if you're here on this call, there's no accident that you're here on this call. Really look into this information. To that lady that said that she was overwhelmed by all the information, you don't have
to feel
like that. You don't. Don't feel overwhelmed, honey. Just do what you can, and the rest will take care of itself. It's so open and giving a program. Really, it's amazing. I just wanted everybody to know that.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so very much. We do very much enjoy what we do here and sharing things like this teleconference with everybody, and we have a really good time. And of course we've had people that tell us that we're not nearly serious enough for spiritual teachers, but you get what you get. We enjoy. I think that joy is one of the gifts that God has given us, and that we're supposed to enjoy ourselves. And if that includes humor, then in a spiritual discourse, that includes humor in spiritual discourse.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right then. What I will do, if there's no further questions,
question. Give it one. Give it two.
All right.
All right, you guys, it was a pleasure talking to you tonight, and I hope I was informative and not overwhelming, as always I am, because I really...
The problem
and
is
I don't
is,
even like the sound of my voice.
The problem is there's so much more information than when we have time for. We're really trying to distill this down as precise as possible for this format. But there's a lot of material, and we look forward to sharing it.
And I just need to add very, very quickly, Liana, your voice is precious and beautiful, and music is a symphony, and your information is welcome. Please keep pouring it on. We love you. We love you.
I love you.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God, you guys.
I'm here, too.
Yeah, I'm here, too. So everybody is here.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
and
so
God bless.
Love you, guys. We love you. Bye.
To both of you, Chris and Leonid.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.